Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to Grace of Christ. Let's stand together as we begin our worship in this new year and this new decade with our call to worship. In the beginning, God created all things, and He saw that they were good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Christ, God makes all things new. All who are in Christ are new creations. The old has passed away, and the new has come. Praise be to God for this indescribable gift. Standing as you are able as we sing together our hymn of praise.
Thank you. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we cross the threshold into the new year, we take time to give you thanks. You have accompanied us through the year that has passed. We have been clothed and fed by your gifts. When fear has engulfed us, or we have faced the unknown, Christ, our High Priest, has interceded on our behalf. Faced with decisions, we have been enlightened by your Spirit and strengthened by your presence. And as we offer you thanks for past mercies, we seek your guidance for future tasks. When decisions are to be made, let us first seek your will. When we are met by challenges, stay by our side. Father, as we enter the unknown of a new year, be our confidence and be our strength. And Father, we pray that you would restore a social conscience to our nation. There is so much bitterness, so much disdain, so much civil unrest. And we desire to see our nation restored to godly integrity. And Father, we pray for our valley this morning. In the coming year, we pray that there will be enough water in the mountains for the crops in our valley. And we pray for those in leadership positions in our local and state and federal governments. We pray that they make sound decisions based on your truth and not on personal agendas. And Father, we pray for those who are ill, who are faced with unsettling news, who are uncertain about what the future holds for them. And we pray for those who grieve the loss of a loved one. Father, the year is so young, and yet some of those in our family have already experienced a loss. We pray for Pastor Alex Rule. His father passed away unexpectedly a couple of days ago. We pray for Lois Hanks Dexter, passed away. We pray for Joe Parks as his father passed away, 108 years old, Father. We pray for that family. And pray for Cheryl Darnell, who lost her brother-in-law in the last few days. Father, so we pray for those who grieve the loss of a loved one. Surround them all with your embracing compassion, and show us how we can care for them in their solitude and comfort them in their time of need. And this morning, would you be with Pastor Bill as he begins to teach us that it is by your grace and our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that provides our adoption into your family. And we thank you, Father, for the bread and the grape on the Lord's table. They remind us again of how Christ is our bread of life and cup of salvation. May the table remain a symbol of unity and the place where we can gather despite any differences we may have with others. So, Father, we lift up these prayers to you this morning, both those spoken and those that remain on our hearts, as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Welcome to Grace of Christ Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday of the new year. If you are new to Grace, welcome, special welcome to you. Stop by the Welcome Center, which is to my left, your right in the garden room. The Welcome Center is right inside the door. Stop by there, pick up a welcome packet, tells you about life at Grace of Christ, and ask any questions you may have that come up while you've been worshiping with us, and to pick up a coffee card for you to use with your family. Also, important thing is you'll find in your bulletin or in the pew rack in front of you the little black and white card. That's our Connect card. That's how we connect with you in the life of our church. Pull it out, put your name on it, put down the date and the time you were here, and use that card to jot down any prayers you have, any praises, any joys or concerns that you have. We at Grace of Christ are a praying church, and staff takes these cards, looks at them, and prays over those requests each week. It's very important how we connect with you. Also, you can use that card to RSVP to some events that come up. And we do have events coming up. Men, heads up, the men's prayer gathering starts again this week, but it's moving to Wednesdays, starting on January 8th at noon in the lounge on Wednesday. So bring your lunch and a fellowship. Also, new life groups will be starting up again. They'll start the week of the 19th. So you still have time to sign up. I think next week between services you can sign up or stop by the office, or maybe you can sign up online. I'm not sure if you can or not. Give it a try. I couldn't. Also, another new event we're going to have, old-time family dinners. That sounds like fun. Once a month, family dinners on a Wednesday night. Come and enjoy each other's company and fellowship. And this is great for Presbyterians. There's no classes, no studies. Can you imagine that in Presbyterians? Great. Come and just enjoy dinner and fellowship in the old-fashioned way. It's going to kick off this Wednesday, January 8th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. It will be a potluck dinner hosted by Family Ministries and Gracia de Cristo. They're going to provide taquitos and guacamole. Now, in your bulletin, there's an RSVP card that you can fill out specifically for that event and jot down who's coming, how many are coming, and if you'd like to bring something to contribute, a side dish, dessert, something like that. And then mark your calendar for February 12th, next month. That's when the next old-time family dinner will be. I believe that's the announcements. Let's all stand as you are able and join together in our hymn of thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As we prepare for the joy of giving, a couple of reminders. You can still give your 2019 year-end gift today, and actually through January 9th, and be sure on your check to date it December 31st. But you have until January 9th to take that to the office or drop it in the offering plate today. Also, you can still turn in your 2020 commitment of giving card. Those are very important for the church to prepare its budget. So just drop it in the plate with your offering or take it to the office as well. And now if the ushers will come forward, let's pray. Father, you are the source of eternal renewal. We come before you this first Sunday of the new year full of new life. We bring you now the fruits of our labors as well. Bless the work of our hands so that what we do reflects the radiance of your love. And accept these offerings this morning as signs of our commitment. And use us to lead others to your kingdom. Amen.
Before you are seated, would you turn to the people around you and greet them with the love of Christ? Well, Happy New Year. How's it going so far? All right, yeah, no complaints yet? All right, 5 days into it. Good. So as we get into a new year, as we get into a new sermon series, we're going to unpack the book of Galatians. And it's going to take us about 3 months to do this. But I believe there's some meat in Galatians that will help us as we go into the new year to breathe a fresh spirit into us and into our church, that we do lean into the grace of God more than we lean into the law of Moses. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And before we look at our text this morning, I just want to kind of give a little intro into what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm not a technological genius. I know just enough to be dangerous. And so anytime my cell phone is on the fritz, anytime my computer isn't working or the internet is down, I will do whatever I can to try to fix it, try to remedy the situation. You would think by now I would have learned to practice the advice I give my wife and others every time they come to me with a problem. There's one word. Reboot. Anytime Debbie comes to me and says I'm having trouble with my computer again, I'll say, did you reboot? No. Have you unplugged it, plugged it back in? Have you started it over? For some reason, I can preach it, but I don't practice it. And I will spend countless hours poring over the internet trying to find an answer to my problem when all I have to do is reboot. Sometimes in life, you ever feel like you need a reboot? You need a start over, a fresh beginning. You need a do-over, a mulligan. Well, it seems like at this time of the year, when we enter into 2020, like every new year, there's this sense that not everything we did in the year before worked. We're not really different than who we were at the beginning of the year. So there's this sense we want to start over. We want to reboot. We want a new beginning. Now, some people call that a New Year's resolution. I've made and I've committed to my one resolution so far this year. Not to have a New Year resolution. 5 days into it, I'm doing pretty good. The same is true when we talk about our Christian faith. Sometimes we go through the motions. Sometimes we try to be a better Christian. We try to please God. We try to, you know, love others as best as we can. But sometimes we get to the point of it's not working. It's not changing who I am. And so we even enter into the new year with a spiritual resolution to do what it takes to be a better Christian, a more devoted follower of Christ. And we might commit to reading the Bible in a year. We might try to memorize Scripture. We might commit to praying faithfully every day, maybe even every morning, maybe even get up before God gets up. Because we're going to be committed this year. We may want to serve somewhere. We may want to contribute financially to the church. But unfortunately, like most New Year's resolutions, our attempts, our intentions to live out our faith differently in 2020 will probably fade away. Not because of any lack of effort or desire on our part, but because often these attempts, these acts of good works, these spiritual disciplines, our commitment to be a better follower of Christ are done out of the flesh and not according to the Spirit. And so this morning, as we start to unpack Galatians, we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 to see how we can do our Christian faith differently. That it's not just practicing religion, but it truly is about having a relationship with God. Not driven by fear or guilt to do better for God, but to have a vital faith that allows us to spend more time in living our life with God in this journey. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Then Paul, writing to the Christians that he had visited at one point and preached the gospel, and hearing about some others who have come in now and are preaching a different gospel than what he shared with them, he begins and he writes, "Paul, an apostle not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." That's his opening. That's his greeting. That's his salutation. And now he gets right to the point. He says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask now that you would indeed refresh our spirits. Lord, that you would restore us and renew us, that you would remind us that we are to live not by might, not by power, not in our own strength, but by your Spirit. Breathe into us now. Speak to us through your written word, and by your Holy Spirit, continue to draw us closer to you as we strive to become more like the living word, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. So I have 2 points for you this morning as we prepare ourselves for communion. The first is this. When we think about religion, I've gotten to the point in reading this text that religion is about seeking the approval of God. And when I mean seeking the approval of God, I mean we're actively trying to gain or earn God's approval, His pleasure, His favor. We're doing all that we can in order to guarantee that God truly does love me and that I am forgiven of my sins, that I will go to heaven. But you know, the truth is Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could get to heaven. That's not what this life and this world is all about, is doing all those things that we believe Christians ought to do so that we can be assured that we are going to heaven. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins in order that you and I might be reconciled to God, that we might have a living, vital relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we would be set free from sin, set free from the guilt of sin, but also set free from the law that often is obeyed in our flesh, but not in our spirit. That often weighs us down and is a noose around our neck. Jesus, Paul says, has set us free. So why go back to becoming a slave. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to seek God's approval, His favor. In fact, Paul makes it clear in verse 10 that he's not seeking to please man. He's seeking to please God. He's not seeking the approval of men and women. He's seeking the approval of God. Not to earn God's favor, not to earn God's love and His salvation, but as a response to the truth that Paul knows that we love God only because He first loved us. We are to seek after God's approval when it comes from a spirit of humility, from a contrite heart, knowing that we are not capable of earning God's love, that we cannot love Him, but that He first loved us. Trying to seek God's approval by being better, by performing good works, by practicing spiritual disciplines, performing acts of righteousness is not only futile, it's impossible. We cannot earn God's favor. We cannot earn God's approval. And ultimately, in the end, if all that we are doing in our Christian walk is done in our flesh, according to our humanity, it will not draw us closer to God. It's like riding a stationary bike or running on a treadmill. I do that when I go to the gym. And I realized this past week that after 25, 30 minutes of being on a stationary bike, after I'm sweating profusely, you know, and I'm working hard and I'm putting out a lot of energy, at the end of it all, I haven't gone anywhere. Now, they might put a screen on the bike or the treadmill and give you a video of being out in the meadow somewhere, but it doesn't compare to actually being outdoors. It doesn't compare to running or bike riding along the river or climbing up a Bear Creek mountain and seeing the view of Mount Adams and Mount Rainier and the Goat Rocks. It's the same way when it comes to our spirituality. You see, there's nothing wrong with riding a stationary bike. Nothing wrong with doing a treadmill. There are great rewards, great benefits. You know, it's better than not doing anything at all. There's nothing wrong with practicing spiritual disciplines, of making a commitment to pray, of reading the Bible, of giving generously. There's nothing wrong with, there are great rewards and great benefits of that. But if we are doing it only as a way to please God, only as a way to deal with our guilty conscience, only as a matter of duty and obligation, going through the motions, then we will get exhausted. We will burn out. We will not end up getting closer to God. We might actually feel further away from Him. The life that Jesus came to give us is not a life that is weighed down with laws and rules. Do this, don't do that. The life that Jesus came to give us, that abundant life, is one that is oozing with the grace of God, doing what we do as children of God, not to earn His favor, not to keep His wrath away from us, but to honor Him, to devote ourselves to Him, to respond to His love and His grace by giving Him all that we have, worshiping Him with our heart, soul, mind, and body, not as a duty, not out of obligation, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit who has transformed our heart of stone and is breathing life into it that it might become a heart of flesh. That's able to walk according to the Spirit, that's able to live according to faith and not by guilt and fear. We do what we do because of what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. But Paul is perplexed. He came to the Galatians and he preached the same gospel. A gospel of salvation not by works, not by obeying the law, but a salvation by grace a salvation through Christ and Christ alone. And he's amazed, he's astonished, he marvels at how quickly they've allowed others to come in and trouble them, weigh them down with another gospel, which Paul says is really not another gospel because there's only one true gospel. He says that, which reminds us and tells us and confirms that salvation is only through the death of Christ who frees us from this sinful, evil world. He says, but they've come in and they've distorted the gospel. They're troubling with you. They're weighing you down with rules. They're putting a yoke upon your shoulders that you would be obedient and dutiful. That you would do what they say will gain salvation apart from grace. So Paul is astonished. Why would anybody who's been set free want to go back to a life of slavery? You see, Jesus came to set us free. Set us free not just from the law, but to set us free from sin, to set us free from a works-based salvation, to set us free from guilt and shame. You see, Jesus Christ alone came and was the only perfect one who could fulfill the law. If we try to gain God's favor, if we try to earn salvation, if we try to do all that we do in order to have peace and comfort and know that, whew, I'm going to make it to heaven, we will constantly end up feeling like failures. Because there's nothing that you and I can do. It's not only futile, it's impossible to try to earn God's approval. The truth, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is that by his death and resurrection, God has already put his seal of approval upon us when he gave us the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to our second point. If religion is seeking the approval of God, faith is about accepting the approval of God. The approval that God has already given to us through Jesus Christ. You see, God's approval of us, God's salvation offering, God's forgiveness of us is not something that is bestowed upon us because we now deserve it. But in spite of the fact that we do not deserve it, he gives it to us anyways. It is a gift. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave us, he sent to us, he offered us the gift of salvation through his son Jesus Christ. All we have to do now is accept it, is to trust in it, believe it, to know without a doubt that God has forgiven us of our sins because of the blood of Christ, casting our sins far from us as far as the east is from the west. That's what communion, that's what this table is all about, reminding us of the work that Jesus did for us on the cross, setting us free so that we might receive grace, that we might receive forgiveness, that we might receive salvation. You see, it's not about the fact that we successfully sought after God and found him, but it's that he came after us in Jesus Christ. It's not about us having to seek after God, but reminding that God continues to seek after us. To remind ourselves that even if one sheep should leave, that he will leave the 99 and still continue to seek after us. When we eat the bread, when we drink of the cup, we proclaim the death of Christ until he comes again. As we partake in communion, we are, by faith, accepting the gift of grace from God. We are allowing the truth of God's grace to flow through us like springs of living water. This table is not a reboot. This table is not a fresh start, a new beginning. It doesn't mean we, oh wow, now every first Sunday of the month I can come and know that my sins are erased because I took communion. No, this is just a reminder to us of what Christ has already done on the cross. And as we partake in these elements, it's a reminder to us of how the Holy Spirit has been given to us to cleanse us, to forgive us, to wash us clean, all by the grace of God. When Bill Hybels was asked rather abruptly to explain the difference between religion and Christianity right on the spot, God gave him these two words. He says, basically the difference between do versus done. He says, religion is spelled D-O, do. It's all about what you and I do for God. But Christianity, faith, the offering of grace is spelled D-O-N-E, done. It's all about what has already been done for us through the blood of Christ. That Jesus died on the cross, not so that we then can live our lives frantically, desperately trying to please God and earn His favor, but so that we now cannot necessarily do things for God, but live our life with God. To give us an intimate, living, vital relationship with our Heavenly Father. We all know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not a result of anything we do, any of our works or our accomplishments, our good deeds, our spiritual disciplines, our acts of righteousness, but only by the grace of God in Christ. So therefore, we can't take credit for our salvation. We can't take credit for our goodness. We can't take credit for having earned God's love in our lives. We can't boast about what we do, but as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we boast and proclaim about what was done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ. But just because we're saved by grace doesn't mean that we don't have to do any good works. I'm not going to let you off the hook. And neither does Paul. You see, you and I were created to live our lives for God. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, if you go on into verse 10, it says, we are His workmanship, created, new creations in Christ for good works. What we couldn't do before, now we have been created, given a fresh start, a new beginning by the Holy Spirit. We are new creations in Christ. And now we can live the life that we were intended to live in relationship with God for good works. To please Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, to love Him. Not to earn His favor, but as our response, as our devotion, as our surrendering to Him. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So yeah, we're saved by grace. And as the Holy Spirit comes and changes and transforms us from the inside out, we then are empowered, given the ability to live the life that Jesus came to give us. To enjoy that abundant, rich-filled, joy-filled life that Jesus died for. We are given the ability, the desire, the passion to want to do all that we do to honor God, to praise Him with our lives, to give Him thanksgiving, to worship Him heart, soul, mind, and body. Not because we have to, but because we know it's far greater than anything else in this world. So as we get ready and prepare our hearts to receive communion this morning, I want us to pause, to be silent. It's a time when we want to confess our sins to God, but I want to offer you something else as well. It's not just a time to say, God, here's where I failed, here's where I blew it, this is the sin that's keeping me from knowing You, and then feel like, okay, whew, got that off my chest. But it's a time to invite God in to breathe life into you, to take hold of your heart, to create a new spirit, a new heart within you. So I invite you, yeah, if in your time of prayer and silence, if God is calling you out of darkness, out of places where you have gotten distracted or turned away from God, then admit it, acknowledge it, confess it. But at the same time, say, then, Lord, refresh me and renew me. Restore me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. So let's do that. Let's just spend some time in silence as we get ready for communion. Let's pray. And so, Father, we offer these prayers and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, renew us and revive us now and forever, I pray. Amen.
Pastor Bill told us, we gather at the Lord's table this morning, and actually on the first Sunday of every month this year, we'll be celebrating communion. We gather at the Lord's table to remember that God provided a solution for us for a very serious problem that we had. He came and he took our place on the cross. And he paid our debt. And so as you take of the cup and the bread, just pause to remember how much God loves you. Now, simple instructions on how we do communion here at Grace. The ushers will dismiss you row by row. Come on up to the front. Pastor Bill or I will direct you to one of the servers, an elder or a deacon. Feel free to take communion individually or as a couple or as a family. And when you're done, you can drop your empty cup in the baskets at the side and return to your seat by the side aisle. And if you would rather have communion right where you're sitting, just catch the attention of one of the servers on the side, and he'll be glad to serve you where you're sitting. As our tradition at Grace in Christ, we recite together the Apostles' Creed before communion. So I invite you to stand as you are able and recite the Apostles' Creed. It's found on the screens or in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
So I now, ministering in the name of Christ, offer the words of the Apostle Paul, who said on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat with the disciples, and he shared his last meal with them. And as he sat with them, knowing that in a few days he would be going to the cross, he took the bread and broke it and shared and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Something that I'm sure took them off guard, something they didn't completely understand. But my guess is in the next several hours, as they saw their friend, their Savior, Jesus on the cross, their eyes would be opened and they would come to an understanding of what Jesus meant on that night, sharing that meal. As he was with them around the table, he also took the cup and he gave thanks. And as he poured it out, he said to them, "This cup is the new covenant, which is shed for you through my blood for the forgiveness, the remission of all your sins." And he says, "Now come, drink all of it." So for anyone here this morning who has never accepted the grace of God, perhaps today is the day that God allows your spirit to grow and to change and to become a heart after his own heart. Maybe today is the first day you say yes and accept the fact that Jesus has said yes to you in Jesus Christ, that God has said yes to you in Jesus Christ. Maybe today, as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, it is the first time ever that you allow God's grace to penetrate your heart and your soul and your mind, that you would indeed know today that you are a child of God. For the rest of us, we come to this table maybe tired and exhausted, maybe convinced that we have to work harder and try better to be loved by God. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, who are tired. Come to me, those of you who are a slave to obedience, a slave to the law, a slave to guilt. Come and let me rest. Give you my rest. Let me give you my grace. Let me pour out my love into you. Come and drink from my living water." And so today, come and allow the Holy Spirit to once again refresh you and renew you. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come to this table, we are grateful. We are thankful. We are humbled by the fact that your Son, at the right time, while we were still separated from you, while we were still enemies of you, unable to love you or do any good for you, died for us. That he laid down his life so that we then might experience reconciliation with you. That we then might know the forgiveness of sins. That we might know what it means to walk in the newness of faith. And so, Lord, I ask again that heaven would again collide with earth, that by your Holy Spirit, you would take these common elements and allow them to quench our thirst and satisfy our hunger to know more of you, to be reminded that you love us unconditionally, that you love us with an everlasting love. So come and meet us today, right now, right here, as we are. For we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Would you stand for the closing prayer and for the benediction to follow? Now, Almighty God, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you, Lord God, that we do not need to earn your favor, that but by your Son, Jesus Christ, you have ushered us into your presence, that we can now come to your throne of grace and we can receive mercy and grace in time of need. So thank you, Father, that you never leave us, you never abandon us. Lord, we have no idea what holds for us in 2020, nor do we know what comes tomorrow. But we know you go before us, you surround us, you carry us. And we are grateful that you are indeed our good, our great shepherd. And so now, Father God, would you continue to go before us and allow us to live our lives in complete devotion to you. For I pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May you know without a doubt as you leave here today that God has given to you his approval, not by any works, but by grace through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, and now by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. May you have peace now and forever. Amen. God bless.